Well, last Sunday, if you weren't here, we had a very special service as a number of parents came up and dedicated really themselves and their children to the Lord. And for me as a pastor particularly, it's really awesome to see the number of young families that we have who want to raise their kids to know Jesus and to fulfill the plans that God has for them. So it was really, really awesome. Now, you never know what's going to happen when you fill a stage up with a bunch of kids. I think it went very well. But as I was thinking about it, I know for me, when we finished the ceremony, my job was done that morning. I was able to say amen, and they all went back to the chairs, and then those parents went home, and they had to do what parents do over and over and over again, and clean and diaper and clean and diaper and feed and diaper and clean and feed and somehow get a nap in there somewhere along the way. But I had the easy part. I just did the ceremony. But let me ask you a question. How many of you would agree that the task of raising children, particularly in our culture today in our society, is a difficult task? How many of you would think it's a difficult task? Most of us would. And that has nothing to do with you kids. We love you. The challenge of just helping you to be who God wants you to be, it's challenging. I thought particularly also, I was thinking about that, I think of moms or dads who are doing it alone, doing it as a single parent. Difficult might not be strong enough a word even to describe that task and what it's like. I think it's safe to say for that we are in a battle for the family. We are in a battle for the family. And I believe the family unit was God's idea from the very beginning. It was his very design for our culture to be strong and healthy. And because it was important in the very beginning of time, I believe it's still as important today and valid, and not only for us as individual families, but for our society as a whole. The family is very, very, very important. I also believe, because it's so important to God, that we have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he's real, and he's alive, and he is going to do everything he can to destroy the family, the family unit, and for what it stands for. And so as Christians, particularly as Christian parents, and as a church, we need to do everything we can do to keep that from happening. And we've watched what happens as the family falls apart, what happens to our society. So I guess the question is how do we do that? And there's probably no one easy single answer. I think one of the primary ways we do that is we raise our kids to understand the value and the importance of family. That they understand and they see that we not only just talk about it or we dedicate them, but that we invest into their lives so they see the importance of family. And that gives us, not just parents, but even those of us in the church, a very important responsibility to our kids and to the kids of the future. So that's what I want to do over the next 3 weeks. I want to take a look at how can we do that? How do we do that? And there's you looking for a title of this sermon series, What Kids Need from Caring Adults. So it doesn't just say caring parents, primary responsibility to parents, but every single one of us in here made a commitment last week to engage in and to help these parents. So what kids need from caring adults? A pastor by the name of Doug Fields, I'll give him credit for this outline. I'm thankful for him, and he preached this a long, long, long time ago, but I'm going to be using some of the things from there. So we'll look at the first three today, and then over the next 2 weeks, we are going to look at the rest of them. Now, you're sitting here going, wait a minute, I don't have kids. I should just probably leave right now and go home. Don't do that. I don't think that's necessary. In fact, I think it's going to be as good for you as it is for parents, because really what we're talking about is healthy relationships. We're talking about healthy relationships. The reality is all of you will be interacting with kids here at the church, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe somebody's going to grab them as they're running through the church and say, slow down, that loving thing that we do here. It's really biblical relationship principles, and we're going to look at them primarily in the context of parent-family relationships. So don't tune out. I really want you to engage and learn in this as well. So if you have a pencil and you want to write down the very first thing that what kids need from caring adults, you can write this down. What kids need is belief. What kids need is belief. And this one really starts more about you as a parent. This belief is what you believe about yourself and the role that you have as a parent. How would you answer this question? This is primarily to parents. Do you believe in the value of you being the parent to your child? Do you believe in the value of you being the parent of your child? Not me, not anybody else, but God chose you to be the parent of your child. Because the answer to that question is really, really important. If you don't believe you play an important role, then you're nothing more than somebody who's going to feed and clean and wipe up and provide and have no other input into life. You really, at that point, you think about it, you're just a shift manager at a breakfast, bed and breakfast. They can come and go, but you have no other input into their lives. So the answer to that question is really important. You, think about this, as a parent, your actions, your values, your beliefs will be the greatest influence in the life of your child. You as a parent. Sometimes we worry about them watching, oh, SpongeBob or whatever the shows are. That we, oh, no, we all want to be very careful about what inputs they have. And it's true, we need to be. But you are the greatest influence, not the TV, not anything else, but you as a parent. Believe it or not, your kids want you to be their hero. They won't say that to you, but and it's very, very important to understand. They want you to be a leader for them. They want you to be an example they can follow as they try to figure this thing out called life, as they figure out what it looks like to walk with Jesus, what it looks like to submit to authority, what it looks like to get off the floor when you mess up and you need to make reconciliation or restitution. They need it. They really do. And they want you to influence them. Why do they want you to influence them? You think about this. It's because that's God's design. When God created mom and dad and God put children in there, it was his design from the very, very beginning when he created the family system that our kids would be looking to parents and how to do that. They might not come out and say it, of course, but they really need it. We looked at this verse last week. Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. So what do you do if you get a gift from God? All right, you think about a gift from somebody that forgot about your birthday, and they run to the dollar store, and they get that dollar package of candy, and they give it to you, and you go, oh, that's nice, right? How important is that gift? Not all that important. But when God chooses to give you a gift, how important is that gift? They are very, very important. And that gift that he's giving to you is important to him. Children are important to God. Very, very much so. And Jesus showed that while he was here. He revealed that to us in Mark 36. This is in verse 37. Let me read it to you. He says, he took a little child whom he placed among them, taking the child in his arms. He said to them, now listen how important this is. Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes who? Welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Whoa, that's pretty wild. What was Jesus saying? He says, if you welcome a child, you welcome me. You welcome God. That's a really, really high calling. To me, that puts my job much more than diaper washer, feeder, cleaner, transportation manager, all those things. It's a high calling. It gives my responsibility and your responsibility as a parent an eternal perspective. It's not just diapers and not just laundry. Your calling as a parent is important. It's part of your life job description. And it's definitely worth your best investment of your energies and your effort and your resources. And so the question as a parent, are you doing everything that you can do to invest into your child with those things? And if you're a parent, when was the last time you thought about the value of your role with your children? Sometimes it's hard to think of that because you're doing all the other stuff. I want to encourage you, soon as it's at like 30 seconds of quiet that you get during the day, okay, I want you to think about the value that you bring to your child to help them to become those who God wants them to be. All right? What kids need is belief, and your belief that it's very, very important, your role. Second thing I want you to write down is that kids need presents. Kids need presents. They need birthday presents and Christmas presents. No, it's not what I'm talking about, is it? Let me spell presents for you. It starts like this. T-I-M. What's the last letter? It's up there. You cheated. I know that. Time. T-I-E-M-E. And of course, it did say time, didn't it? Presents equals time. What are you laughing at? All right. Did I spell it wrong? Huh? Oh, jeez. Talk amongst yourselves. All right. Oh, it's right here. It says T-I-M-E. It's in bold. Okay. Now, you, of those who are up front here, have those little guys. You're thinking, man, that's all we give them. That's all we got. We have no time for ourselves. We're doing all that stuff. We're with them. We're with them all the time. And at this point in my life, it doesn't seem like there's much return on my investment. But let me tell you, hang in there. Hang in there, hang in there, hang in there, hang in there. There are people who subscribe to the theory that quality of time over quantity of time is what's important. It's more important that you give a little bit of quality time as compared to lots of time. Well, I thought about that, and I'm trying to, I figured out a very deep theological way of explaining to the my opinion on that. You are very wrong if you think that. That's a very deep thought. You're very, 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 very wrong. You might want to argue me. You can't. I've got the microphone. I'm up here to tell you that it is not true. Some of you might be thinking, Wendell, are you trying to make me feel guilty if I'm not spending a lot of time with my kids? Yeah, just a little bit. But let me quantify that just a little bit. If you are consistently putting your selfish needs above their needs, then yes, I want you to feel guilty. If you are consistently putting your needs, your selfish needs, above their needs. Now, I know that there are no selfish people here at PCC. We only want what's best for everyone else and for our kids. And when the game is on this afternoon that you've waited all week for, or the movie finally downloaded and you've been waiting for it, and you're ready to sit down, the snacks all around you, you're ready to go, the flicker is in your hand, and the little one comes and knocks on your leg and says, hey, let's go out and play. The first thought that comes to your mind is, sure, kid, I want to do that. I would love to be with you. That's what we all think, right? I have a question here. Am I alone in this, or is there anybody else that struggles with that? The reality is, by human nature, we are selfish. We want what we want for ourselves, even when it comes to our kids. And the idea of presence, particularly with our kids, is a total challenge to our priorities, what's important to us. And it forces us to ask ourselves, what's truly most important in our lives? Now, the football game and the movie, kind of minor issues. But 2 weeks ago, we talked about our checkbook being a real good indicator of what's important to us. And I ask you to maybe hand your checkbook over to your neighbor to let them look at how you're spending your money, because it tells us a lot about it. And I know that it's important for us to earn a living. I know it's important for us to pay our bills. But what kids won't appreciate are those of us who are overworking, not to survive, not just to pay the bills, but to drive the nicer car, to have the bigger house, to stoke up our egos, to talk about our 401ks and all those kind of things. I believe this well in my heart, that our kids would rather, much rather, have our presence than our money. Have our presence as compared to a new snowmobile or any of those things. They'd much rather have your time than your careers, because presence matters. It's really, really important. You can talk about how important it is, but your actions will back it up. Presence matters to God very, very much. Think about how differently our lives would be if God was not present in our life. This idea of presence is really, you think about it, a biggie to God. God wanted to make sure that we knew who He was. He wanted us to make sure that we understood that He was real and loving and caring. And so He did something very sacrificial. He put the TV remote down. He shut the TV off. He took on flesh. And He came to earth. And He dwelt among us so that we could know Him, so He could be present with us. Philippians 2, this was yesterday in the wedding with Mike Hubble, says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. God said to us, those who are created in His image, I want you to know me so much that I'm going to come to earth and be with you. I will be Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? What does it mean? Nice and loud. God with us. Present. That's Jesus. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He became flesh and He lived among us. And if you're a Christian and you've said yes to that, you've stepped across the line of faith, you opened your heart to God, you said, I want You to be my Lord, I want You to be the leader of my life, He does something even more. Not only did He leave heaven, take on flesh, when Jesus died, He rose again, He hung around for 40 days, He left, then He promised that He would send us the Holy Spirit. And we sang that song. Mike, it was amazing. I love how we plan these things out, Mike. It's just awesome that it's all planned out. It wasn't planned out. That's the Holy Spirit. He sends us the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Read this, these last four words. Who lives in us? How much more present can you be than living inside you? God wants us to, He wants us to know that He is present with us. Presence is a big deal to God. And because we have God's presence in us, we can do the things that He asks us to do. So how do we become more present with our kids? I guess that's something for each of us to think about. Think about our calendars and our schedules. But maybe first you should consider your own personal sacrifices that you might have to make. What are the things that are keeping you from being present in the lives of your children? What can you give up so that you can be with them? And, you know, we come up with all kinds of excuses. And here, this is a small one, but it's really in a big way. If your kids are in sports, are you making most of their games? Most, if not all of the games. And you might say, you know what, though, Wendell? I just hate soccer. I have no idea what's going on. I understand where the ball's going, and it looks just like a mass of human flesh running around. And you think about this, you're not going to the soccer game because you love soccer. It has nothing to do with soccer. It has everything to do with your child, and your presence matters. Your kid will remember that you were there, and you didn't say, oh, bad shot. Hey, kid, you're doing great. They're going to remember that you took time. And you'll miss some, and I understand that because we do have busy schedules. But because your presence is a sign and caring and connectedness, your child will love that. There's power there. Another one, particularly for those who are driving and trying to get ahead in the corporate world or in your world, what about a career sacrifice? What's something you're doing in your career that you don't need to survive? I'm beyond just basic survival stuff. Are you working so hard because you're trying to pay off the timeshare and you're trying to pay off the Harley and the gas and all that stuff that's not bad to have in themselves, but if your job, if it's you required to work to be able to have all that stuff, my recommendation is you sell it. Get rid of it so that you can have time with your kids. Reconsider. Maybe some of you in your jobs and your job is keeping you from being home. And you, for a while, you know, everybody has to put in extra time. I understand that. But if your job is keeping you from being present with your kids, I just want you to reconsider, is it worth it? What else could you do with your skills and your gifting to be able to do what you're supposed to do so that you can be there for your kids and for your spouse? That's something we'll talk about later. How about this? What if you're sitting home? What should you do with that cell phone and that tablet and the computer and all those things? Well, if you're driving, you shouldn't have your computer out for sure, but shut those things off. I don't know if you're amazed or not how much time can go by. A little Facebook, one video plays, another video, follow her, follow him, and all of a sudden you got a half hour and you were with your kids, you never said a word. Get rid of that stuff. Reinvest that time. And I'm speaking to me. Marianne will say sometimes I need to put that down. So got a lot of grandparents here. What a great joy for us to be grandparents. You know why kids love to be at a grandparent's house? One, we don't have to tell them yes and no most of the time. It's because they have our presence. It's because they have our attention. And when they say let's color, what do? We color. Let's have a cup of tea. We drink tea. Let's go do this. We do whatever it is. They have our attention. Moms and dads, watch the grandparents. Look at how they do that. And grandparents, if you're not present, would you please step up to the plate and be more present? Just encouragement. One last thing we'll talk about today. What kids need is they need good memories. Kids need good memories. belief, presence, memories. I believe that good kids have good memories. And I stopped and I started thinking a little bit about good memories. I'm in the house I grew up in, so every time I walk in my yard, I'm filled with memories. And when I use one of my dad's tools and I get a little grease in my hands, he died back in 94, I still think of Al Fole and the grease that's on my fingers. I think about a little track in the backyard that we had to ride three times around. We had one bike for us, four boys, and if you could get around the track three times, you could go on the road. And we only had two cars on the road a day back then. It's a little different. I remember Dad then buying a go-kart frame and making the go-kart. And then not only was the bike going around the track, we could drive that little go-kart around there. I remember Sunday soup. Every Sunday, two pots of soup. Mom would have soup, and we'd sit and have soup and talk. Saturday nights, Dad bought a case of Blue Boy soda, one a month. One case, that's 24 sodas. There were six of us. Every Saturday, we could go pick one Blue Boy soda, and we'd watch TV. Someone had to go up and change it, of course, but we'd watch TV. That was amazing. So having a soda was special. I remember flipping peas for my mom so she could rototiller. I remember holding a little piece of metal so Dad could weld. Hopefully, I could hold my foot on the brake pedal long enough for the air to get out, and I wouldn't let it go. I have tons and tons of unbelievable memories, memories that are awesome. And those memories contribute to who we are today. Even as a 58-year-old man, they contribute to who I am. They add to all of us identity and health. And I know when I talk about good memories, some of you are sitting here, and the word memory for you is a painful word. And for some of you, there were some bad things that took place in your life. And the idea of having a good memory is really difficult. And for those of you that had to deal with that, I'm very sorry, and I wish it wasn't that way. I do believe that God is in the works of all that to redeem those moments. But what I do know is if you understand the power of memories, you can redeem some of those things by building new memories into the lives of your kids and allow God to bring healing. And if you've never dealt with that, talk to somebody, allow them to bring cleansing in those areas. But continue to do everything you can to build a foundation of wonderful memories for your children. If you think of the Bible, we see over and over and over again that memories are very, very important to God. How do we know they're important to God? Well, if you stop to think about first this thing called the brain, it's amazing that God created that brain and it basically remembers everything. We can't recall everything, but it remembers everything. It remembers smells and sights, situations and scenes. So memories must be important because God gave us the ability to do that. We also see that we know it's important because God has told us and given us different things that we are to remember. Very clearly, he says, don't forget, or he says to remember. I have a few of those verses here. Deuteronomy 6:12, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Don't forget this. Deuteronomy 8:2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember your creator in the days of your youth. And then Exodus, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. In the New Testament, probably the key thing that we're told to remember is when we gather around the communion table. Every month we do it. It's our tradition here in our church is we gather to remember what Jesus did on the cross. When you eat this bread, this is my body given to you. Remember me. When you drink this cup, this is the blood of the new covenant. And when you drink it, please remember me. As a parent with your children, you're building memories whether you want to or not. Here's the question. Are they good memories or are they bad memories? And when the frame of all of our experiences are all spliced together in one long story, what will be the big picture memory of you? Will you be a mom that was fun or a mom that was not fun? Will you be a mom that was a nag or the mom that was playful? A dad who was present or a dad who was absent? Will you be parents who fought like crazy and never said, I love you? Will you be parents who fought and then showed them that you worked that out to be able to come to reconciliation? I could go on and on and on. Mom, grandparents too. What will they remember about you? What are you doing with your grandkids? You are a significant influence in your life. Will they remember Grandpa the Grouch? Or Grandpa the Grump? Will they remember Grandma and Grandpa with the plastic on their furniture because no one could sit down on it? Will they remember that they never wanted to go outside and play because you were watching Wheel of Fortune? Oh, if you're watching that still, that's an okay show. Here's the reality. We can't do this on our own. We need help to build memories that are going to be lasting. We need help to do all the things we just talked about. And we need wisdom that goes beyond our own ability. So what I decided is I called up a pharmaceutical company on the way out. You're going to have a little pill. You can take it, and it's going to fill you with all the wisdom that you need to be the best parent you can be. Doesn't work, does it? Doesn't work that way. Well, here's what's cool. God tells us how we can have that kind of wisdom, and it's found in Proverbs 2. I'd like you to read it with me. Proverbs 2, 3 through 6. Let's read. Cry out for wisdom and beg for understanding. Search for it like silver and hunt for it like hidden treasure. Then you will understand respect for the Lord and you will find that you know God. Only the Lord gives wisdom. He gives knowledge and understanding. Wow, those are some very, very specific words. Cry out, beg, search, hunt. It's not a passive process, is it? God says, I want you to seek after this. And when you do, He will give us wisdom. You want wisdom to be the best parent you can? Ask for it. You want wisdom to be the best spouse, the best friend, the best uncle, the best grandparent you can be? Cry out, beg, search for it. And so I pray that as we go from here, as parents and as those who invest in the lives of our kids and our church and our communities, that we would seek that. So would you bow your heads with me as we close in prayer? Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you never give up on us. Thank you, Lord, that you constantly are reaching out to restore us where we've messed up and broken things. I'm so glad you're not done with me, Lord. I'm so glad you're not done with us in the role that we have as either parent or grandparent or aunt or uncle or a church member who's going to be investing in the lives of the young people of our church. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. And so we cry out for it. We beg you for it. We promise that we will search for it in your word and that we'll hunt for it and know that you're going to answer us. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to be committed to your word, to prayer, and to serving you in this church. Help us to be parents, Lord, those who are parents, to love their kids and build them up. And as we go from here, I just pray we'd be your hands and feet. So we thank you, Lord. It's your name we pray, and the whole church said together, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. God bless.